You are listening to Warren Phillips, representing the negative position of the subject today, is Christ part of the triune God, co-equal and co-eternal with the Father? Coming along in just a moment, we have a 10-minute rebuttal to that position with Gordon Bryden and Mike Turney.
Okay, thank you, Bill, and much appreciated, Mr. Phillips, for that presentation. However, once again, we do affirm that Jesus Christ is, indeed, Jehovah God, and that he is co-equal with the Father. And we do affirm that Jesus Christ existed before the worlds began. Indeed, in John chapter 1, we are told, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, the Word there is the subject of the sentence. And the last phrase of John 1:1, the intransitive verb is used there, and the Word was God, God Theos being a predicate nominative, referring back to the subject, Word, describing the nature of the Word was God. We also affirm that he did become flesh in John 1:14, and prior to him becoming flesh, he was eternal God. Now again, let me reiterate that verse in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, that Gordon read. Okay, I don't have the reference handy, but in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, Gordon, do you have that reference handy? Okay, well, okay, but you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of ancient times. Okay, now also, Mr. Phillips pointed out that God has manifested himself through angels and through his Son, Jesus Christ. And he quoted 1 Timothy 3:16, that God was manifest in the flesh. We agree that Jesus Christ was indeed the manifestation of God in the flesh, and we go one step further than that and say that the Scripture means exactly what it says, that he was indeed God in the flesh. Now, the objection was brought up by Mr. Phillips that no man has seen God at any time. Now, I believe that this refers to God the Father being a spirit. John chapter 4, verse 24, Jesus very clearly said that God is a spirit, and they who worship him must do so in spirit and in truth. However, we do see, when Jesus Christ walked the earth, they did behold God the Son, second person of the triune Godhead. Now, in Genesis chapter 32, verse 30, we have these words. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Now, the objection was brought up that, or the statement was made that God manifested himself through the angel in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. And we would agree with that, and we would go one step further and say that that is what is called in theology a theophany, or a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. And that the angel of the Lord in the burning bush was none other than the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. And if you notice there in Exodus 3:14, the angel of the Lord and God are spoken of as the same person, clearly pointing out that Jesus Christ is indeed deity. Now, the objection was brought up from, I believe, Hebrews chapter 1:8, that God refers to his Son as being begotten. Thou art my Son, this day I have begotten thee. Now, of course, we as Christians believe that when Jesus Christ walked the earth, according to Philippians chapter 2, that he humbled himself, that he took upon himself the form of a servant, and that he limited himself, and that he laid aside the use of his divine attributes and depended totally upon the power of the Holy Spirit to execute his ministry in. Now, we believe that the term begotten of God refers specifically to his incarnation. Okay, thou art my Son, this day I have begotten thee. And we do believe that Jesus Christ was eternal God, and that he was indeed incarnate God. Now, the objection was brought up that God cannot be tempted, and we see Jesus being tempted in the Gospels. This, of course, can be explained in the light of his humanity, in the light of him humbling himself, in the light of him taking on human nature and taking on flesh, as it were, came in the likeness of sinful flesh. And in his subjection to the Father, in his position, Jesus Christ, of course, took upon our nature and became like us so he could become a faithful high priest pertaining to the things of God. And in that position as Messiah, we do see Jesus being tempted. Now, I personally believe that Jesus was indeed God and that he would have never yielded to the temptation. Now, this is what is called in theology the impeccability of Christ. We do hold to the impeccability of Christ, that he never would have yielded to the temptation. Now, the scripture was brought up, I believe, in the Gospel of Matthew, that there was a scribe, I believe it was, who said, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good except God." And the Christadelphian position, of course, is that that scripture there is referring specifically, Jesus specifically is denying that he's deity when he says, in fact, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good save God." I think the question we have to ask ourselves at this point is Jesus good? Now, I'm sure that most of you would agree with me that Jesus is good. But if you read his statement carefully, Jesus said, "None is good save God." Now, if Jesus is good, then that must make him God. And so, obviously, what Jesus was doing there was just the opposite of what was implied in Mr. Phillips' statement. He was indeed affirming his deity, saying that he was good and he was God. Now, nobody, I'm sure, would dare say that Jesus was not good. Maybe they would, I don't know, but if they read their Bible, I'm sure that they would come to the conclusion that indeed he was good, and therefore he must be God. Now, also, the objection was brought up that there were times when Jesus did not know certain things, particularly the time of his second coming. Again, we agree that when Jesus Christ came to the earth, took on the form of a servant, took on the likeness of sinful flesh, and became one of us, that he limited himself in terms of exercising his divine attributes, and again, that he depended upon the power of the Holy Spirit. There were times, indeed, when Christ did not appear to have all knowledge. Then there were times when he did appear to have all knowledge. In John 17, there's a reference there. And so we agree that Jesus Christ did temporarily lay aside the use of his attributes, but we affirm that in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily in Colossians 2:9. We say that even though Jesus Christ did lay aside the use of his divine attributes, yet in his essential nature he did not change. He was eternal God. And that brings me to the point that Mr. Phillips brought up in Malachi 3:6, where he affirmed that I am the Lord thy God, I change not. And again, our answer to that is indeed Jesus, God the Father, Jesus and the Holy Spirit do not change in their essential nature and in their essence. However, we do have the incarnation as a part of God's plan of redemption to where Jesus humbled himself, identified with humanity, became one of us, and thereby secured eternal redemption for us through his sufferings and his death. Now, the objection was brought up that God only has immortality and that Jesus could not be God because he died. Historically, Christianity has affirmed that it was not the deity or the divinity of Christ that died on the cross, but it was indeed his humanity. Jesus himself said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit," proving that the spirit did indeed live beyond the grave. We agree that Jesus was crucified according to the scriptures. 1 Peter 3:18 says he was put to death in the flesh. Notice that, in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Now, 1 Peter 3:18, made alive in the spirit or by the spirit, is in the dative case without the preposition, which indicates agency or means of. And so we have the Holy Spirit raising Jesus from the dead, as it is spoken of in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. He was made alive or he was quickened by the Spirit. 1 Peter 2:24 says that he himself bare our own sins in his body on the tree. So we say that Jesus was fully God and fully man, and that when he went to the cross and he offered up himself as a sacrifice for our sins, that it was not the divinity of Christ that died, but it was indeed his humanity. And that is the position that Christianity has held historically down throughout the years. Okay, and I guess with that, my time is just about up. And so now we have a short break?
No, we have a quick rebuttal, a 10-minute rebuttal with David Pride representing the Christadelphians. So, David, you may take the microphone if you like.